Welcome back, dear students. We are going to finish up our first chapter, first section, with a presentation on short-term investments. Get them out of the way. Yeah, they're not that difficult, and they're not that important, unless you need the money in 6 months. Then they're very important. Slide number 55, short-term investments. To review, we call short-term investments cash, short-term vehicles, short-term instruments. When you think of short-term investments, we normally think of up to a year. But for some people, you might need to hold on to that money for 2 years, or maybe even up to 3 years. They're usually guaranteed or pretty darn close, very liquid, meaning you can get your money immediately, and very low risk of losing principal. Should we even say no risk? Well, yeah. Hence, very low return, very low reward, 2 to 5% over time. As we say, it's a place to park your money and also used for holding an emergency fund of liquid assets so that if the organic matter hits the ventilating device, you lose your car at the same time you have to have a crown and a spleen removed and you lose your, did I say lose your car? You lose your job and you lose your car and the car had a baby and your sister needs a new transmission. All those emergencies that pop up. Slide number 56. There are two ways of earning interest. There's the one that we're more familiar with, and that's the stated rate of interest. It's most common. Savings accounts, CDs, money markets. And then there's the discount basis. Huh? The discount basis? Well, it's a method of earning interest on a security by purchasing it at a price below its redemption value. The difference is the interest earned. And the interest accrues on the investment over time. Do you understand the word accrues? It gets bigger. treasury bills, corporate papers, that's how these things work. And those Series EE bonds. Right? You purchase a security now for, say, $4,800. And in 9 months, you get $5,000 back. So your interest would be $200. And as the maturity date gets closer and closer and closer, the security rises in value. The interest accrues. Okay? That's the discount basis. Now, it will have a stated interest rate. It'll have an annual percentage yield next to it that doesn't show you the dollar amount you're going to get. It shows you the interest rate. So you can compare these to other investments. Slide number 57. What are the risks of short-term investments? Wait a minute, Payano. You told me that these things have no risk. Well, risk of default, right. You're right. You're not going to lose your money. Your principal is safe, often guaranteed. In fact, even when it's not guaranteed, it's still guaranteed. Huh? Wait till we get the money market mutual funds. You'll see what I'm talking about. But are there risks? Oh, yes. The risk of losing your purchasing power is very high. Short-term investments over time barely keep up with inflation. Now they are losing to inflation. Any money you have in the bank is losing value. It doesn't look like it is, but if inflation goes up at 2% and you're getting 0.5%, yeah, you're losing value. The risk of lost opportunity cost. Huh? Well, I know most people don't understand opportunity cost, what you give up by making a decision, but in real terms, and I hope we'll see this later on, by putting all your money into short-term investments, money that you're not going to need for 5-10 years, you are giving up tremendous opportunity. Because unless your time horizon is very short, there are several investment alternatives, almost all of which will give you a better rate of return. Now, again, you're going to take on more risk, but in some cases, not a whole lot more risk. So, repeat after me on slide 57. There is no such thing.
There is no such thing.
As a risk-free investment.
As a risk-free investment.
Every investment has risks. Now, are you going to lose your money in short-term investments? No. So there's no risk of default, or virtually no risk of default. But you're going to lose purchasing power, and you lose opportunity cost. If your time horizon is, you know, more than a year or two. Slide 58. So let's take a look at the types. The first type, and for many people the only type, is a deposit account. I'm putting my money in the bank or the credit union. I want it guaranteed. We call them passbook savings accounts, but very few banks actually give you this little thing that looks like a passport. Now, you know, they get statements electronic. I certainly don't get them at credit unions. There are checking accounts that pay interest. Again, almost nothing. And then at banks and credit unions, you have what are called money market deposit accounts. Now, don't confuse these with money market mutual funds, even though they usually are. They're essentially the same, but this one's guaranteed. Everything, when you walk into a bank, you walk into a credit union, your deposits are guaranteed. They are often called demand accounts since the funds are available upon demand. They provide the highest level of liquidity and are usually guaranteed up to $100,000. Currently, $250,000, I think until the end of 2012 or maybe into 2013. So yeah, is your money safe? Yes, I don't care what anybody says, the bank, don't you? Yeah, the bank is safe. They'll screw you over if given half a chance, but yeah, the banks are safe. And many people think you can get your money that day. Well, yes and no. It depends on how you ask for it. I think I said something in the previous session. If you ask for your money in cash, they might go, excuse me, it's going to take us a day to get that cash because we don't keep that kind of cash sitting around. Many people think there's lots of money in the bank. No, they don't. They're not stupid. They know people come in and try to rob them. Where's the money? It's in the ATM machine, right? There may be $10,000 any one branch, and in the machine right next to them is $200,000, right? Because you can't hold up an ATM machine. You point a gun at it, it goes, huh? What are you talking about? Slide number 59, Series EE bonds. You know, these are real popular gifts for newborns, and you may even have one, folks, sitting somewhere in your drawer somewhere that your aunt or grandparents gave you when you were born, you millennials, you 18 to 22, 25-year-olds. If you do, get it out of there and cash it in and use it for tuition, because then you don't pay any income tax. You see, they're free from state income taxes, because they're instruments of the federal government, and the feds can't tax the states, and the states can't tax the feds. And if you use them for higher education, they're free from federal income taxes. Very cool. And they use the accrual type. You buy it at $50, and 18 years or 20 years later, you get $100, which is a whopping 3% or something like that. So they don't give that great an interest. Slide number 60. There are also Series HH savings bonds. And by the way, you can buy these directly from the federal government, treasurydirect.gov, or through your bank. The HH are being phased out. You don't see them anymore. But the ones that are very popular are the Series I bonds. They are indexed to inflation, which means they're guaranteed to outpace inflation. But not by much. They pay the accrued interest on the bond's maturity after, 30 years or 20, 30 years? But again, if you use them for higher education, you pay no income taxes. So, check them out. I'm going to ask you to look them up on treasurydirect.gov. Slide number 61. Now, here are the benchmarks, if you will. Measurement by which all other short-term investments and long-term investments are measured, and these are called treasury bills. Don't confuse them with treasury bonds or treasury notes. We'll talk about those later on. Treasury bills are obligations of the United States Treasury. They are sold at a discount and then redeemed at face value, the accrual discount method. They typically have 1 month, 3 month, 6 month maturities. They are generally regarded as the safest of all investments. Hence the term risk-free rate of return, right? What's the current risk-free rate of return? Look at what 3 month Treasury bills are paying. That's what the industry will use. They don't pay state and local income tax, but you do pay federal tax on them. And part of your assignment for Chapter 1 is to go to treasurydirect.gov and nose around, because the Treasury really has done a great thing, folks, as far in my humble opinion. They have made it so that you get to buy these things at the same price that the big boys and girls on Wall Street and the pension funds and the mutual funds all pay. So, great. Good for them. We love to complain when the government does something stupid, which they do. We all do. But we should compliment them when they do something really smart, and this is really smart. Slide number 62. CDs. Certificates of deposit. Really, folks, these are sometimes called time deposits. They're fancy savings accounts. The key here is the funds must remain on deposit for a specified period. Why? Because if you don't, right, they'll let you take the money out early, but they're going to give you a penalty. They'll slap your wrist and take your interest. And you can, 1 month, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years. They're insured to that same $250,000, and it'll probably be once it, I think, I forget exactly when it sunsets, but it'll probably be renewed. So your money is safe. Now, there are these things called brokered CDs. Brokered CDs? Yes, they're sold by brokerage firms, and they normally offer higher yields. And then you can turn around and sell them again because they're selling them through a broker. Now, wait a minute. Why would a bank say to some brokerage firm, hey, would you sell these CDs for us? Right, the bank is hard up for cash. So during tougher times, you see these. Right now, for the banks, they're getting all the free money they want from the, virtually free from the U.S. government. So you don't see too many of these lately. Careful, CDs will usually roll over automatically if you do not redeem them. So in other words, if you have a 6 month CD, at the end of the 6 months, if you don't tell them, give me my money, put it in my checking account, put it in my savings account, they're going to automatically roll it over for another 6 months. And they give you, I think, between 2 o'clock on 3 o'clock on the third Tuesday, no, they give you about, I think it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks? I don't know. I'm not a big CD fan. In fact, I have an interview with a friend of mine who loves CDs. And so you can check out that interview. She's a real CD hound. So what you want to do, if you do have a CD and you know you need this money in 6 months, you tell the bank or the credit union, at the end of 6 months, automatically put that money into my checking account. So if you forget about it, it won't roll over for another 6 months. Slide number 63, commercial paper. Commercial paper, what a silly name. Yeah, that's what it's called. And these are short-term unsecured promissory notes, sometimes we call them IOUs, issued by corporations with very high credit standing. So if you're JCPenney's, or if you're Nike, or some big corporation, you can go to the investment community and say, hey, we need a 90-day loan. We need $45 million for the next 90 days to, do something. And we have to finish this building that's just being worked on and the developer who was going to own the building, we were going to lease it out, they have gone bankrupt, and if we don't come up with the money, they're going to scuttle the project, so we need some short-term cash. Will you lend it to us? And the investment company looks at Nike and says, or JCPenney's, and says, yeah, you're a bona fide corporation. We'll do it. So it's like a treasury bill. It's sold at a discount and then accrues to the maturity level. 90 days, 180 days, 270 days. You see, the maximum maturity is less than a year. By keeping the maturity less than 1 year, commercial paper does not need to be registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They don't have to go through all the regulatory things that people, companies that, that issue bonds do. So that's why, by definition, it's short term. What's the kicker? Well, they're usually sold in multiples of $100,000, folks. Yeah. So who normally buys these? You and me? No, we don't buy these. You and I. Mutual fund companies, pension companies, insurance companies, very wealthy investors. And so on the in the assignment, I ask you to go see if you can find some quotes on these things. And you're going to have a hard time doing it. If you go to a brokerage firm and ask, their eyes are going to light up. They're going to say, oh, you know, even if the person's dressed in jeans and they're 22, 3 years, they're probably a millionaire. And then when they realize that you're doing it for a community college course, they're bummer. So yeah, it's going to be hard for you to find some, but they're out there. You can find them. You can go to the company's website. I think GE publishes theirs often. And then their cousin on slide 64 is, their cousins are bankers' acceptance notes. Same idea, except they're issued by banks. And these are short-term, very low-risk investments vehicles arising from bank guarantees of business transactions. A company that's not quite as large as a Nike or a 3M or a McDonald's, they don't have the stature, so they go to their bank, Wells Fargo or Bank of America or Citi or Chase, and they say, you know, we need $30 million to buy these whatchamacallits from Asia because we need to, you know, build these things, but we don't have the cash. So the bankers will say, okay, great, we trust you. We'll give you these bankers' acceptance notes, and you can then turn around and sell them out in the investment community, get the cash. Now, you know, you're sold at a discount, so you're going to have to pay more than what you borrowed from us. And they're very short term, 60 day, 90 days. And as with commercial paper, usually the minimum denomination is $100,000. So are you and I going to buy these? No. Slide 65, money market mutual funds. Now, these are very popular. They're mutual funds, but they don't invest in stocks or bonds. They are a mutual fund that pools the capital of a large number of investors and uses it to invest exclusively in short-term investments so that you get a whole lot less risk than a stock mutual fund or a bond mutual fund. Virtually all brokerage firms, all mutual fund companies, almost all, there's a few that don't, but will offer these things. The big difference between these and the money market deposit accounts and the checking accounts and the savings accounts at banks and credit unions is that these are not guaranteed. They can lose money. But folks, they don't. I mean, it's very, very rare. In fact, if you look up the term breaking the buck, search that on the internet, breaking the buck, you'll see stories of, you know, the handful of money market mutual funds that actually have lost money. And folks, if there ever is a loss of money, what happens is the world wakes up and the white knights come running from all directions and say, we'll make good. You know, often the company itself will say, hey, you know, we're going to lose a penny. What do? They go to the regulators and say, can we take money out of our own pockets and put it in the pockets of our investors to make sure this thing doesn't lose any money? That's usually forbidden. You never, never commingle your funds with the investors' funds. I mean, that's the way you're going to get thrown out of the industry, your license revoked, criminal penalties. You might have heard of John Corzine and MF Global that they goofed up. I don't think he was responsible for this, but he's getting all the rap because he was the high profile figure. They commingled their funds with their investors. You're never supposed to do this. Unless your money market mutual fund is going to lose money, in which case you go to the federal regulators and you say, you know what, we need to put some money in there. And they say, no problem. And if you can't do it, your competitor will do it. Why? Because they don't want their investors to think that their money market fund is next in line for losing money. And in 2008, when the organic matter hit the ventilating device at the end of the year, there were two mutual fund, money market mutual funds that were in danger of breaking the buck. And the Federal Reserve Bank stepped in. I mean, these people have an infinite amount of money to give to you. And they said, we will guarantee all money market mutual funds. Now we're talking, what, $3-4 trillion at the time? Now I think it's up to $5 trillion. So yeah, that's how important these things are in terms of confidence. They want people to believe that these things are very, very safe. And they did that for 6 months, and then they did it for another 6 months, and they said, great, you know, the world hasn't fallen apart. The money market mutual funds are okay. Virtually all offer check writing privileges and direct transfers to and from your checking account. Very, very convenient. Now, what kind of interest rate are you going to get? Just like everybody else. But hey, they're convenient. Slide number 66. So, which short-term investment is for you, or for me? Right? Which one are you going to look at? Well, the choices are really not that great. Yeah, commercial paper and banker's acceptance notes? Yeah, no. They're mostly suitable for institutional investors or very wealthy investors. Savings bonds make cute new gifts for newborns. Yeah, many investors will purchase treasury bills directly from the treasury at treasurydirect.gov. Not a bad choice. CDs are okay for those who are sure that they will not need the money until maturity. But if you need that money, what's going to happen? Right, you're going to get penalized. And I believe that money market mutual funds, money market deposit accounts are the preferred choice by most informed investors, especially since every bank, credit union, brokerage firm, and mutual fund company offers them. They're very easy. But I've noticed that many non-investors, people who really are not well informed, they still put their money in a passbook savings account. They haven't taken this course yet, right? they don't see, well, and now it doesn't matter. You might get, they're all very, very low in terms of what they're paying. So, the emergency fund debate on slide 67. This is, you know, from the other class, the Business 121 class. Should you have an emergency fund? Many financial experts recommend that households create an emergency fund of 3, 6, or even 9 months of income. That's great for some people, folks, but I think that's a lot of money. I'm not trying to say you should have $17.87 in your checking account. No, you should build up a fund of a few thousand dollars, I think, but 25, 40 grand? I simply do not agree with the concept of an emergency fund of 3 to 6 to 9 months of living expenses. As long as you have access to cash, home equity line of credit, credit cards, worst example, worst case scenario. There is no good reason to keep 10, 25, or more in a savings account earning 0.2%. Instead, use the money to pay down high interest rates, especially credit card debt. You are adequately insured, right? Yeah, because insurance is important, but there are exceptions. If you're in the sales profession, you're a real estate or a mortgage broker, real estate agent, or you sell cars, or you're self-employed, or you get laid off often, well, yes, this is very important. You need to build up a huge fund. People who are in the mortgage community, mortgage-backed securities, or selling these mortgages, or real estate agents, they believe that their income would stay the same for quite some time. And then, of course, the bottom fell out. And, yeah, so there are exceptions. But for most working grunts, it's good to have some cash on hand, certainly. Okay, so checking for comprehension. What are, so you ready? What are mutual funds that pool the capital of a large number of investors and use it to invest exclusively in short-term securities, right? So mutual fund, there's the answer, right? Money market mutual funds, right? They have their counterparts at credit banks and credits, you know, their money market deposit accounts, they have rates that are close to CDs, but without the early withdrawal penalty. So these are quite nice. I like them. They're my favorite. Right. So I tell you my bias right up front. What about savings instruments in which funds must remain on deposit for a specified period? There is normally a penalty for early withdrawal. Commercial paper, money market mutual funds, passbook savings accounts, or, right, CDs. If interest rates are going down, cool, you can lock in the rate. Unlike the savings account or the money market accounts, those change every day, right? But you better hope that you do not need the money until the CD matures, right? If you need the money before the CD matures, there's going to be a penalty for early withdrawal. Did I say they change every day? No, they don't change every day, but they do change, right? The savings accounts and the money market mutual funds and the money market accounts at the banks and credit unions, they can change as time goes on. But a CD, no. If you get the CD for a year, it'll stay that. Some have what they call this bump up. After, you know, 5 months or 6 months, you can bump it up to the current interest rate, which is kind of nice. How about short-term unsecured promissory notes issued by corporations with very high credit standing, normally sold in $100,000 denominations? Corporations issue corporate paper. Commercial paper and their cousins, bankers' acceptance notes, are normally only purchased by institutional investors such as money market mutual funds, insurance companies, pension funds, yeah, with a lot of money, or high net worth individuals. And then slide 71, a guaranteed demand account at a bank or credit union that normally pays little interest but will often be offered with a toaster or a waffle iron, which makes it all worthwhile. Yeah, that's the savings account. No comment. Slide number 72. Folks, we're finished. We are finished the first section. And there's an awful lot of good stuff in this chapter, right, that you need to know. So go back and listen to it again. Watch it again. While you're exercising or while you're going to work or whatever, listen to it. Are you excited? Are you ready to tackle the next session, which is mutual funds, the investment for the masses? See you in the next chapter.